Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Blackman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Holy crap, you made it. Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are glad to have you.
It's really, really not that good.
It's not that good, but you're here. So you got nothing else to do. You're trying to get through your work day. A big thank you to our listeners, to our supporters for all the support, the messages, the comments, I'm thankful for the congratulatory messages. I didn't see my wage brain had to like spell that out in my head.
Just sound it out. Clap it out.
Yeah, there it is.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
We're getting this. You wouldn't, because Illinois boys are putting a whooping on Iowa right now.
Yeah.
Hey, it is.
It's not even fair.
What it is.
It's not even fair.
Yeah. Playing the special ed team.
We need a handicap or something.
Hey, you got Steve on your team, so you guys got a half a point with an asterisk. So you guys are doing good.
That's
pretty bad when Steve's showing you guys how to get it done. Yeah, come on, boys. Yeah.
To be fair, though, you guys have never shot that deer.
But
I'm glad he got one. Workingclassbowhunter.com. We have new goodies in our store. Stickers. Hoodies are in. New hats.
We got a ton more of new stuff coming.
Thermoseat's coming. Yeah, new shirt designs.
New beanies.
All sorts of good
new
stuff.
New hats. All kinds of new shit.
We're trying to hustle as best as we can. So if you haven't got a trip into a 150 shirt or a hang and bang shirt, I would probably snag those, because as we phase new designs in, some of those older ones that like lost their fire flame from launching, those might fade out on clearance. So keep that in mind. But thank you for the support. And I think what I want to do is just start. Do you have a veteran shout out ready? He doesn't, but...
Okay, Steve.
Real quick, I'll do a quick introduction while he's pulling that up. My name is Kurt Geyer. I'm a host. Hi.
Oh, my name's Eric Hyman. Also a host.
My name is Ross Bigger. I'm just kind of sitting in here.
You're a host.
Austin Chandler.
The Lord. You're a host.
Do you want me to just start saying the Lord in between?
Yeah, people get it now.
Okay. Yeah, Austin, the Lord, Chandler. That'd be great. And then Doug.
Doug, the mustache, Schmidt.
A.K.A. Dale.
Dale.
A.K.A. It is what it is.
A.K.A. It is what it is. A.K.A. I got a veteran shout out ready.
Let's hear it, buddy.
All right, I'm trying getting this last name correct. This was submitted by Dakota Owoski.
Owoski.
And the veteran name is Chris Simino. Simino. He's in the Air Force. Says, my father-in-law, Chris Simino, is a retired Air Force vet that wrenched on B-52 airplanes. He could talk for hours about them. He's not much of a hunter, but will occasionally go gun hunting for deer, usually with a German K-98.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Okay. I love that.
But more often, he asked me to get him a doe or whatever during bow season. So thank you for your submission, Dakota, and thank you for your service, Chris.
Thanks for your service,
Chris. Thank you, sir. Keep rocking that K-98.
A German K-98. That's got to be awesome.
Appreciate you, Chris. Thanks for your service.
I'd like to see a picture of that, actually.
Be cool. So thank you for submitting that. Doug is running dry on veteran shout-outs.
Yeah, that's my last one.
So we're caught up on them. The thing is, we do get some like in messages and stuff like that on Facebook and Instagram. The best way is go to Working Class Bowhunter, the contact tab, and there's a veteran shout-out form. That's the best way for us to organize them. I guarantee it, if you don't send them there, we will lose them.
Oh, yeah.
They just get buried in like order messages and stuff like that, and which we're thankful that we get that much that, you know, that's a problem, but we also feel bad if we miss a veteran shout-out. So make sure to submit them the right way there and help us out. Help us help you. Help us help each other. Right?
That's help right. you help that's me. Right.
Help you,
help you. Help you.
Something like that. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. We've been rocking HHAs for a long, long time and absolutely love them. And if you'd like to save some money on your new HHA or your first HHA, code WCB15 at HHASports.com. They back their products with a lifetime warranty or a lifetime guarantee, if you will. So if you drop it out of a tree and something happens, God forbid, you're covered. But peace of mind. You know, if you swap your bow out every year, keep good accessories on it, you know. Buy good accessories one time, and you can move them from bow to bow to bow, and so you save some coin. It's a selling point to your wife for you to do dumb shit later with your money.
Exactly.
So just, you know, hey, it is what it is. God,
yeah, you're saving money.
You're saving money here. Just tell your wife. Also, Scent Crusher, in our opinion, the leader in ozone products. We have Scent Crusher shit all over the studio. We use it. I literally use it every day in my life. I use it hunting.
Every day.
I use it just as much in my lifestyle as I probably do in a hunting application, from the room clean to all that. You know, the studio usually smells like dip cans and Bush Light and sweat, and but it doesn't after we run a room.
Not anymore, yeah.
A room clean or a Halo Series unit in here. So check out Scent Crusher. Also, Leupold Optics. I will say, goddamn, am I thankful for Leupold, because I hunted out in Indiana, and most of the year I had some opportunities to kill some stuff, just nothing big enough. But I'm in the hardwoods where I could kind of see a long way down to this low spot, and the binos kept me entertained. Because I could, you know, you see a buck coming down through the timber, it's kind of hard to see antlers in timber. Boom, you put the binos up, and you can tell immediately what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
You're sitting there bored, you're clicking everything with a rangefinder just to see how far it is, practice your distance. So check out Leupold. Just as much, they take care of the rifle hunters and firearm people just as much as they do some of the bow hunting stuff now with the new rangefinders they got out, specifically for bow hunting applications that can basically show you the arc of your arrow if you have different obstacles, branches, shit like that. So changing the game. Also, Thermoseat. We have our own Working Class Thermoseat available at workingclassbowhunter.com.
That's right.
But if you'd like to get a wedge for turkey hunting or anything else, if you need a big comfy seat for like a buddy stand or a ladder stand, code WCTS at Thermoseat will save you some coin there. Pretty cool.
Your butt will thank you.
Your booty will thank you. We got a lot of thank yous when we posted those up.
They're amazing. Everyone knows you got that old stand like with the squirrels chewed off the seat.
Yeah. I like the thinner.
I like the thin one too.
Yeah, if you got leather seats, throw in your pickup truck. You know, you don't have that cold ass in the morning.
Hey, it's like heated seats for the working class.
That's right.
Yeah,
good call.
You use your own fart warmth to warm your butt.
That's right.
Think about it.
AC seats, geez, that's only for Ross Bigger in here. You know what I mean?
Helen's got heated seats.
Helen's got heated thermoseat.
It's real cold. I put the D wedge in there. You know, you got the back support.
If you're short too, you know,
throw a hand warmer back there.
That's right.
You're good. Victory Archery. So a different plug for Victory than normal for this episode, Lord.
Yeah, this year I'm rocking the Carbon Trad 450s. That's my setup. They come with an 80 grain insert. Put a little weight up front, and I'm shooting light poundage. I'm only pulling 43 pounds at 28 inches, and I'm still running a 175 head with 80 grain insert. So you gotta run a lot of weight up front with those guys.
But nice. Well, they came with that insert.
Yes, they come with an 80 grain insert. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
Kind of take care of
you. Awesome arrows. They're vintage looking, so they look like they're wood grain. So they look wood. 4-inch feathers. They're just a really cool looking arrow.
Very cool. Yep. Yeah. Thermachine's got Victory's got it covered, man. Rip TKOs are my favorite arrows of all time so far. I just love them. Just with what you know and trust, and that's where I'm at.
Can't beat them.
They haven't failed me.
No.
Cool. I'm glad you guys had a lot of input.
I would give him input, but I got nothing right now.
I'm dry.
I'm trying to run an extortion through something, see how that worked.
Also, Gator Outdoors, a lifestyle brand for the working class hunter. Good Christmas gifts through Gator. Right now, they are kind of a retailer, but transforming into a lifestyle brand. I put that on blast a couple episodes ago, and I wasn't supposed to, but now I'm just going to do it every episode until it actually happens. you can go to Gator Outdoors and save some money with code WCB10. Hats, the shirts, the killing hats, and all the good stuff. Check out Gator Outdoors. Wade's killing it, too, man. He's tagged out in Iowa. Yeah. He's Mr. Public Land Boat Guy now.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah.
He boated into an island on the Mississippi and shot like a good 140s buck.
That snap was – his snaps were hilarious.
Oh, they were awesome.
He was hooting and hollering.
I didn't see any of them. Well, I was hunting when he did that, so I couldn't like hear the audio.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
So, gee whiz.
He was howling like a coyote.
Yeah.
podcast also brought to you by Elite Archery. The cure's all around except for Mr. Tradboy over there.
Yeah.
Everybody shooting a cure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have for your compound right now?
Mine is the 35 Ritual 35.
Yeah. Still rocking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool. Is that going to be your compound for a long time because you're going to be so involved with the traditional stuff?
Well, I think Ross can still get a pretty decent deal on an Elite, so I'm probably going to upgrade and let the 35 go down the road and try the new one that they got out. See, I got to have something for the moose. You know, I don't want to rely on the longbow for the moose, so I better bring something with a little more ass in it.
How sweet would that be, though?
I'm not saying I'm not going to bring one with me. I might bring one up there, but I've never been up there. You know, I think the terrain might be pretty gnarly as far as getting an arrow through some of that stuff, and the old compound might shoot a little flatter for me and some of that stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. That'd be sweet, though. Check out Elite Archery, code WCB, Everything Outdoor Group, so you can – if you want to get into an Elite, use that code, save you some coin. Big Tine, code WCB2020, everything on Big Tine. And right now, I'm going to, I guess I need to hurry up and pull this up. And this is what I'm doing. I'm fucking up is what I'm doing actively.
No, you're doing great.
So we're doing we did a bonus episode for Big Tine that's coming, just like a quick little ditty. But right now, we're doing a Frost Seed special. Through Big Tine. It's 50% off Foundation Clover and Clover Select. Use code WCBFrost. That's 50% off Foundation Clover and Clover Select.
Damn.
Pretty kick-ass if you're into frost seeding, or you just say, hey, I just don't care when I get some seed for the spring or whatever. 50% off. Use code WCBFrost.
Can't beat that.
That's some good-looking clover, too. It is lush.
Very cool. So that's
lush.
Check that out. And like Old Barn Taxidermy. Holy shit, have we been to Old Barn Taxidermy a lot this year.
Illinois boys.
The Illinois boys.
I was there once.
Have been there
a lot. We were there for the party.
For taxidermy.
Okay.
And
I was there for my mom.
You got to specify.
So, yeah, sorry. And processing. Yeah, Doug, you went with your mom. That's good.
It was fun. I had a good time.
Did you have breakfast afterwards?
No.
No.
Damn.
Darn it.
Old Barn Taxidermy.
I drove there too.
Honestly, and I've said this before, it's a company that always impresses me with like the next venture they're trying to accomplish. Oh, yeah. Like processing. It's a taxidermy shop. How good can their processing be? Sam throws me a package of snack sticks. I'm like, oh.
You finished them on the way home.
This is good. Yeah. Very impressive. Old Barn Taxidermy. I'm a drop off. You kill something, you're in the area. Bring the cape to me. Old Barn picks it up for me. They handle it from there.
It's a one-stop shop, man.
One-stop shop.
And they're easy to talk to. Like, they know what you want for amount. Like, you know, some taxidermist is like, what do you want for amount? And it's like, well, I've been thinking about this. And it's like, just tell me what you want.
Right.
Same one actually, like,
sit down with you. Yeah. Where's it going in your house? And try and walk you through it.
Yeah, yep. He tries to talk you into custom stuff. Like, he's trying to make his job harder than it needs to be. He's just an artist. I mean, that's what a true artist does. They want to show off their work. So
they just want to do basic things.
It just makes you feel good.
That's what you want a taxidermist, too.
Yep. You walk out of there happy.
Yeah, too, and you don't feel like intimidated when you go in if you're not familiar with the forms or what your options are. And I will tell you, if you live in the Quad City area and anywhere near us, I have a mount from almost everybody in the area. Not everyone, but close. And I know of Quad City Tax Service. I'm not covering the outskirts, but I will tell you, I have deer that are going to be remounted by Old Barn probably this year because of the such a basic level commercial, crank them out as quick as you can and get them to the customer mounts. It's not what you want for a deer you're super proud of. You want to go to someone that's going to take care of your shit and handle it how you would if you knew how to do taxidermy.
Absolutely.
So, they're artists. They take every deer as serious as they can.
And they're passionate about it. Julian Loker is like their head whitetail guy. You talk to that dude for 10 minutes about whitetails, and you just see how jacked up he is just to be around antlers.
Yeah. You thought you knew a lot about whitetails? Talk to that guy for 3 minutes.
Oh, dude, he's just so, like, jacked up. Everything deer. He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we can do that. I can, you know, like, he's just so into it.
Or he's like, oh, let's do this instead.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So Old Barn is the shit. And thank you to all our fantastic partners. See me making a mess over here? So... pretty cool, man, that we have Daniel Matthews just called me, and I missed it, so he's going to have to wait. Elite rep.
Get him on.
But, no, super thankful that we have partners that, like, support us in a serious way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, even though we don't fuck up, like, we give a fuck, but we don't. and then one other thing, too. I want to make one more plug before we move on. And this is for our good boy Jordan from Combination Creative. So Jordan does, like, video work, logo work, and stuff like that, and we've worked together for a long time, years actually. He's done a lot of stuff. He's going to be editing some of our videos, some of Austin's videos, and stuff like that. But I'm just going to do this plug here quick because I know there's a lot of you guys out there that have like a hunting project or a brand or maybe a brand outside of the hunting industry that he also can specialize in stuff like that. It's not just hunting.
Website design. I mean, there's a lot of things that Jordan can do.
Editing.
Yep.
Any kind of editing.
He's worked with from churches to outdoor brands to anything fishing to, I mean, it goes on and on. But it's a small marketing firm, essentially, that handles everything from videos, Carbon TV shows. He's done all of our Carbon TV podcasts, TV, internet-based commercials, logos, shirt designs, original music, which is a big deal if you have a brand, websites, and pricing is done on what Jordan basically refers to as his menu. And a lot of it is, you know, you need something unique. He can kind of cater to what you're wanting.
Yep.
So basically get out of that black and white mindset and get somebody with a creative brand to handle it for you. And then they also add your spin to what you want. So he takes, I say they, it's him, but he can take what you're thinking with his designs and kind of blend into something beyond what you had in mind in general. So if you go to Jordan at Combination Creative, combinationcreative.com, and you mention WCB, Jordan will give you $50 off a logo design. So if you're a brand that you're wanting to start your own hunting project, you're wanting to start at a different company, you're wanting to, I don't know what you want to do. You want to, I was going to go dark, but I'm not going to do anything. You mention WCB, get $50 off a logo. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I like to help Jordan out. He's a good dude, and he's literally always had our back. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
So
you're excused.
Moving along, we got some business to take care of here. But right now we have a segment, and we actually have a jingle for this segment.
Well, jingle jangle.
And it's the unpopular opinion segment. It is back. And this week's unpopular opinion segment is taking selfies on the ground with deer. And cue the jingle.
A colorful, emotional, working class hero.
Come on.
That opinion's not very popular.
Come on.
Serious,
but
let me...
Now it's the unpopular opinion segment.
You serious, Clark?
Start the minutes. 5 minutes. I think if you take selfies on the ground with a deer, you're a fucking asshole. And that's all I need to say. I think just don't do it. I think it looks like shit. I think it looks bad. If you're going to do it, save that for you and your buddies only. Don't post it on the internet.
Absolutely.
Because you're
very disrespectful.
Other people are going to see it outside the hunting world, and it just looks bad.
Yep. I mean, you've got a timer on your phone. It's 2020. If you don't have a timer, update your phone.
But yeah. Put your phone on
set
your pack.
That thing on a stump and then get in there and pose with that deer.
No kidding. I don't know. I just think it's in bad taste. And this question got brought up in our group, and someone was like, who cares what other man does? Da, da, da. I'm like, well, yeah, but you're representing us as a community.
Yeah.
And it looks like shit.
Keep it to yourself if you're going to do that.
I'm glad you guys have a whole lot to put in.
No,
I agree 1,000% with everyone says. I mean, it's totally disrespectful to the deer that you just shot and everything. Yep. So,
I think everybody here is on the same page. It's just comes down to a respect thing for the animal.
And it just doesn't look good.
No.
Like, even as a hunter, I'm like, damn, that looks terrible.
Well, Make Hunting Great Again just posted, and I do love that page. Like, he has a spot in this world, but he just posted one of a guy laying down with a deer, and like the deer's tongue's out, of course, like they usually are. And this dude's laying on his back, licking the deer's tongue.
Yep.
And
literally tongue to tongue.
Yeah, like tongue to tongue. Like, first of all, like, it's just that's taking it to another level. But first of all, like, shame on you, you know? Like, don't be an ass.
I just can't imagine someone taking that picture and being like, I'm going to post this online for people to see.
But
I think people post it like to be funny. But at the same time, like, but I would never even think to do that.
Well, there's that challenge that says, like, take a selfie with the deer you kill like this, which I think is stupid. But it's, I'm different though, man. I look at things a little different. If I can help it, I don't like to step over deer and take a picture. Like, I think that looks like shit. But,
Were you like straddling it?
I hate that. But it's a classic kind of like, I don't know any better. Here's my deer. Take the photo and then move on.
For sure. For sure.
Stuff.
Which
so
is fine.
Yeah. We've all done it at a point, but I just think nowadays with good cameras,
you have enough examples out there to go by.
Yeah.
By now that I wouldn't, you don't want your face in between the antlers. You want to just get behind that deer off to the side a little bit.
Show it some respect, give it its space and make it look presentable.
That's just us nitpicking a little bit, but
then then you have the side of people that are like, yeah, but it's not all about that, blah blah blah, and I get that, but if you're gonna take the deer photo, why not make the animal look as good as possible?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You can always look back on those pictures. You don't want a shitty ass picture that you're gonna look back on like, why the fuck did I do that?
Yeah, all bloody and messy and
right.
I try to think of it now because I work at John Deere and it's like of course I work back with the wage brains and shit. Nobody back there cares, but I have important people bounce in and out of where like I do all my work, and on my work computer, my background is slideshows of like all my hunting photos and podcast stuff and deer photos, and I have never had someone bitch about the deer looking bad in the slideshow or something. So that's why I try to keep in mind, like, could you post it somewhere where people aren't hunters and it still be acceptable? That's probably a good basis to put it off.
Yep.
Maybe not.
No, I agree 100% on that.
Yeah. I mean, not a lot of strong opinions.
And you don't do respect to the animal, too, you know? So, like, I mean,
everyone's like kind of quiet.
Make
and
it look as professional
as
possible.
It's bad to do. Just don't do it. There's a segment.
Hey,
selfies
man,
are bad.
That's not cool.
Yeah. Don't take selfies or gay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Super dumb. Okay.
Whatever. I'm not a selfie guy, so I just don't do it anyways.
Yep. So I think we all agree, just don't do it. Maybe just do something a little better looking. You know? So glad you guys came.
I was trying to think of something.
Glad we're all having a good time here, man. this is a podcast
more,
with Kurt.
Yeah, maybe drinking
I need
beer.
Some more talking fluid in me.
Yeah, this is a podcast with Kurt and Kurt and his friends. So welcome, guys. I'm glad you made it here.
That's a good point, Kurt.
Kurt, what do you think about selfies? I hate them. Yeah, dude, me too. Fuck selfies.
Hey, can you hear this?
Yeah,
give me a thumbs up.
Yeah, Eric, just give us an audible thumbs up through the mic. I agree. Sweet. All right, Kurt. Well, moving along, Kurt. We're talking Kurt Austin's second trad buck.
Yeah, got lucky and tripped into another one.
you just always trip right into him, don't you?
What the hell, man?
I don't know. I don't even know. Someone's looking out for me. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, send him my way, would you?
Yeah. No shit. Bless us a little bit before we leave here tonight, can you?
You became so much of a lord that like just the gods are homies with you.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, help a brother out. Yeah. Throw this one to him.
Yeah
no shit.
Someday I'm going to want you to knight me like the queen does.
I don't know if we're ever to that status. So last episode that launched was Austin's traditional journey, which we didn't know at the time, but that's technically part one.
Yep, to be continued.
And this is technically, part two.
Didn't you, kill, the day after you guys podcasted the first time?
I killed my first buck on November 8th, and then I killed my second one on the 12th. So I had 4 days in between. And I can't remember how far the doe was behind the first buck, but it was like
a couple days.
Getting my ass whooped, and then in like 8 or 9 days, I killed 3 deer with it.
That's what happened to me, too.
Yep.
I went from not having a great season but having fun to being tagged out in 5 days.
Yep.
And so that's awesome. So similar Oh, did I? Where were we at with predictions?
I want to hear those predictions.
I think if I remember right, I think Kurt hit Ross's on the head. The first one was on the 13th. I'm pretty sure you predicted the 13th because I just listened back to it.
Yep, I said Ross the 13th, but I said the Lord the 13th, and Doug said you'd be the 21st.
Well, you missed me by a day. So you were right on Ross's, and you missed me by a day. So I'd say that's pretty good.
Uh-oh.
I am way off.
Whoa.
What was our prediction for me?
What's that mustache look like?
I'm about to be gone.
I think Ms. I said Doug would be the 12th, so I'm way off.
That helps.
Of what month, though? Did you list that?
November, yeah.
What'd you say for me?
The 8th.
Oh, the 8th.
I was optimistic. Man, you guys fucking let me down.
The 12th, I was optimistic. The 12th, I just had my shooter come in and was like...
That's what I was just going to say on the 8th.
Don't like, at him.
I don't see it.
Turn around.
Yeah. Look the other way.
You caught at him with your crow call.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, hit him with a fucking shot gobble.
I want my mustache to stay.
Hey, skedaddle.
Let me holla at you.
All right, so back to the trad buck.
Yeah, I guess I'll just start at the beginning. It's not a real long story. After I shot that first one, I was more motivated than I'd ever been after having some success with it and knowing that it actually worked.
I thought you were going to go back to compound, honestly, for the season.
I did, too.
Well, it wasn't out of the question, but I still knew that the heart of the rut was there, and I had a really good chance at having one just either come into a call or come through chasing a hot doe, whatever. I knew that it was still kind of a – if I was going to do it with the trad bow twice, it was the time to have it in my hand, so I didn't,
yeah.
I didn't pick up the compound. But I figured late season I'd bust it out and hunt the big-time plot that I got. It looks really good this year. And,
yeah.
I just didn't get that far.
Good problem to have.
Yeah. I was getting pictures of some pretty decent deer between two farms. I talked about this big 11 pointer before, down actually real close to my house, and sat there a couple days. I had a sighting of a big one, which was probably him. He was just too far to tell. Mm-hmm. I'd burnt that spot out a little bit after hunting it three or four sets in a row, and I went back to that my pasture farm. You've heard me talk about it. The way I'm hunting it this year, it's kind of tricky to get into. I'm hunting the north side of it, so luckily I farm the ground that borders it on the north side. It's divided by Henderson Creek, flows through the middle of these two farms. So I'm farming the farm on the north side of the creek, so I drive my truck into that bottom, and I'm parking. When I park my truck, I was 150 to 200 yards from my tree stand.
Like, mm-hmm. Perfect.
I just drive it right there. I had a south wind in my face.
I like that.
Covering the scent of the truck and the noise and everything. So I rolled up there to the creek. Threw the waders on because we had gotten a recent rain. It was under my knees before, but after that rain, it was over my waist. It was deep enough where I needed waders. So I came across in the waders and jumped up the bank, and I'd already pre-hung a stand here. I'd had an encounter with a real old eight, not real old, he's a five-year-old eight-pointer, a nice eight-pointer, which was who I was hoping to see. Mm-hmm. And already had the stand pre-hung. I'd never hunted this spot, but it's these deer bed up on top of, basically it's the north side of what I call the sanctuary of the farm. I always leave this 30 acres alone. I don't go in it unless I'm shed hunting. So they come off this ridge right onto the north side of my sanctuary, and they come down into this bottom, and they kind of stage in this open, grassy, CRP-looking area mm-hmm. before they go across the creek to food or follow the creek down to go wherever they're going.
Yeah.
So I'd watched deer from a different stand for years go through this spot, and I just got to the point with this traditional bow, like, I need to make a move. I need to be close, so I'm going to hang a stand here and see what happens.
Yeah.
It was early. I got in the stand 1 o'clock, I think. It was actually an all-day hunt. I hunted all day on the other farm, came home, ate lunch with my camo on, right back to the tree. I was maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there. I got up in the tree, and I wasn't there a half hour, and had a nice 3-year-old eight-pointer bumping a doe around. They got off the bed, came out of the sanctuary just like I figured they would, mm-hmm. Came right by me. So I knew that the spot was – I had the potential to do what I wanted it to do. So it was about 3 o'clock or 10 after 3, I think it was. I looked up on the ridge south of me, and I could see this deer coming off the ridge, And I'm sitting there eating my breakfast bar at the time. Kurtz could be laughing at me because I had my snack there.
Your
I'm
functional
just, I'm just sitting
meal
there
bar.
Snacking, yep.
Your functional meal bar. Away.
I'm like, ooh, there's some bone. So I had a little pocket up front. I tucked
put
my,
your Yeti cup
I tucked
of spaghetti
my breakfast
back
bar.
Down.
Yeah. I tucked my little breakfast bar in my pocket and pulled up the binoculars. I'm like, damn, that's a good deer. And I'd had a picture of a deer just kind of moving by my camera fast, so it was blurry, but I could see tall tines on him. I'm like, that's got to be the buck I'm getting pictures of. So
you just stuck it up in your hat like a pencil, you know, your breakfast bar. Just
like a grape cigarello.
Yeah. Save, behind your ear.
Save that for later.
I'll finish you later.
So this buck, he comes down into the bottom, and it's early enough. He's going to be cruising and checking for does, what he's doing. So when he comes down to me, he's getting ready to make the bend to his right and go back up into the draw. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he was about 150 yards. And I knew he was good enough that I wanted to get him in close to mm-hmm. take a look. Like, normally, I'm not calling it a deer unless I want to kill him or see what he is.
Sure. Yeah.
So he steps in. I pull out the call that I'm always bragging about, the old buck growl. And I didn't get real aggressive with it, but he was 150 yards, so he's, you know, pretty long ways off to be grunting at. It was just loud enough that he heard it, and I popped it off, and he just turned his head and looked right at my tree.
Just gave him a little toot toot.
Yeah, give us
tooted
a toot
on the grunt call a little bit.
Give us a toot.
Yeah, what'd it sound like?
Kind of long and slow, not that growl, but just a real long. It's a deep call, so it sounds mature.
Yep.
And, He looked right at that tree, and I thought, I don't need to do anything else. Like, he knows exactly where that sound's at. There's no need to do anything else. Mm-hmm. I just sat there and watched him for maybe 5 seconds, wagged his tail, and then right to me. He just started beelining right for my tree. Just a nice, steady. He wasn't running, but he's just like, I'm coming in to see what that was.
Do you think that point right there is, for a lot of hunters that aren't familiar with deer body language or calling, that's kind of the make or break situation on how they call out a deer? Like, if you would have threw another two or three of those right then and there, hoping he'd turn, he probably would have kept on going.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I think less is more when you're calling. If a deer hears you, you can tell that he reacts to your call. There's not really any reason to keep going. You know, if he listens and then goes to leave again, you know, then you could hit him with a snort wheeze or another grunt or try something different. But once you get his attention, there's no reason to keep messing with him.
Right, for sure. Right. Yep. I just think people get excited and might throw like three grunts, like
if they see him stop or something. Like,
like if he's looking
and you're grunting,
they'll be like, oh man, he's thinking about it. I better convince him with another one.
Yeah.
No, he's looking for movement.
Yeah.
He's very studying hard.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I knew at that moment that he's probably going to come in close enough for me to get a shot. Mm-hmm. Usually if they pin you down on that tree, they have an uncanny ability to know the exact location where that call came from.
It's weird, isn't that crazy?
Whether it's rattling or grunting or anything, they can pinpoint that tree.
Yeah.
Yep. So I saw he was coming, and now at this point it becomes like a judging game. So I told myself after killing that first buck, I'm like, that was a solid, you know, 5-plus-year-old buck. That's what I want to kill again, like a nice, solid 50s-plus buck with a trad bow.
Yeah.
A 5-year-old 50s-plus was my goal. So I'm really trying to judge, and I'm looking, and he's closing fast. I mean, he's 50, 60 yards, and I'm still trying to judge. I'm like, and I could tell he was light on mass. He had shorter brows, but this deer looked giant when he's coming to me. He's got like 10 and 11 inch tines, and he's got a bunch of them. Looked really tall coming in, and I'm a sucker for long tines. So he got to about 40 yards. I'm like, I've seen enough. If he gives me a shot, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
So
no brainer.
Yep. I already had the GoPro set and clicked the record button, so you can actually watch him approach. And, he got in.
These videos will be out somewhere soon.
Yep.
Hopefully it's a badass video.
Jordan's going to hook us up with something pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. He comes in and he jumps this little stream, and then he doesn't stop. You can hear me kind of real light at him, and then he hesitates, and I draw and shoot, and the first arrow goes right over his back, about 2 inches over his back. And you can see him in the video. He just kind of drops a little bit, and
he almost like felt the wind or something.
Yeah, he's like, "What was that?" And he's just standing there looking around. And he kind of looked my way, so I'm just like frozen. And when he turned his head to look away, you can see me in the video knock another arrow when he's looking away.
It almost seems like your arrow went over him it hit the weeds on the other side, and he looked over there.
Yeah, I think he thought there was like
something over there in the weeds. Yep. Yeah.
Yep, and that is one advantage that I'd never really considered with this traditional bow is how quiet they are. The deer don't know where the shot came from. And I've had three or four deer this year that I've got multiple shots at because of that.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah, it's nuts. You don't think about that. No. I never considered that before. No. I would think it'd just be clunkier, I guess, if anything, you know.
And with some bows it is. Like I've got a recurve that I hate. It's loud, noisy, hand shock. I just can't get this thing dialed in, but that longbow that I'm shooting is wicked quiet.
Mm-hmm. It's dead in the hand, too. I mean, it's just, done.
Yeah.
So he comes in. He actually turns and walks to me after I shoot him. I missed him right at 20.
You're either the Lord or the luckiest motherfucker. Yeah.
When we watched the video, you know, and you missed, that shot went over his back, and I'm like, well, and then he starts walking right towards you. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, this would only happen to fucking Austin.
Between the luck on the first shot making a 31-yard bomb and then this deer walking right to me after I missed him, it's like, I don't know. Like, some seasons you just can't lose. And
you had to be chuckling a little
bit. I'm like, well, if you're going to give it to me, I'll send another one at you.
hey, boy. Sorry, buddy.
Checkmate.
Yeah, so he came in. And now I'm like, well, I did it again. I shot high. You heard me talk about it on the first podcast.
Yeah.
I have a bad habit of not being able to make that arrow go where I want. My natural instinct just tells me that I need to aim and shoot at the middle of him, and I'm always 6 inches high.
Yeah.
So he gets in, and I think he's around 13, 15 yards on this second one. I pull back, doom, and it hits him right in the spine. And as soon, you can see it in the GoPro. I just barely caught him as he was coming out of the corner of the view on the GoPro. And it puts him down right to the ground. I watched him for about a minute, and he's still trying. Well, after he was spined, I pulled another one back and put it through his lungs, both lungs, and I think it was heart too. And he was still alive. I watched him for like a minute, and I'm like, you know what? He's not putting his head down. I got one more arrow left in the quiver. So I climb down, and I walk up, you know, I don't know what it was, 10 foot, and shot him through the heart on that one, and he laid his head down, and I was up, knelt down right in front of him when he took his last breath. So
I wonder if, too, like, backing up just a little bit, like that shooting high a little bit where you can't hit him, is that like, because you're probably, when you're practicing in the summer, you're shooting from the ground.
That's exactly what it was.
Could it be from elevation, you know, up in the tree stand?
Well, it's hard for your brain to relearn things. And sure. My excuse was I hadn't felt like I'd mastered it on the ground, so why would I get up in a tree when I hadn't mastered it on the ground? Well, I should have been practicing elevated all summer.
Right.
So when I finally did pick it up, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before season, I was just really struggling. And in the yard, it's different because you get 4 or 5 arrows at a time. So your first one goes high, and then your next 3 or 4 are right where you want them because you have that first one to judge off of.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. That's right. What Shad went back, and I don't remember how he worded it exactly, but he's like, aim for the bottom of that armpit.
Yep.
He goes, because just how it is from a stand, he goes, you'll smoke them if you're aiming
for
the bottom.
Well, and that's
what
he told me when shooting his. He's like, I can show you the fundamentals, but then eventually once you start practicing, eventually you'll just figure it out, and you'll be like, and you'll be dropping bombs.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
I'm not dropping bombs yet, but I'm sending them. So
it's awesome. That's right. To kill two big bucks with a longbow your first year is very impressive. But
very,
you know,
impressive.
And people might give you shit for the miss and the bad shot and then the follow up shot, but that's just part of it.
I'm not claiming to be a pro at it by any means. I mean, it's my first year doing it.
Hey, you were efficient.
I'm as green as can be when it comes to this. I'm going to be the first one to admit it. And that was really a struggle for me to decide. I know that I'm not as efficient as I could be with this weapon. Do I want to take it to the timber and take a chance of wounding animals? But then I remember back to my first year bow hunting. It's like, it's no different with that. The only way you're going to get better is to get it in the timber and learn with it. Right. So that's just kind of one of the trade-offs.
Yep. Have the experience and know what you need to do for the future. Like, yep. I mean, and you know that now, everything from the aiming and all that shit. But, dude, I mean, this buck's a stud. The first buck was a stud.
Right.
But this buck's a stud. This buck is...
Hands down to you, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're an animal.
This buck is like picture perfect pretty type.
He's really pretty. He's got tall tines, a great big 10. He's got his common 3 coming off on his left side.
Yeah.
He's a younger deer. If I would have had my compound, he would have got a pass.
Yeah.
Especially for my second buck. I knew he was not a 5 year old, but like I say, when I thought he was 50s when he came in, he ended up going 146. Had shorter beams and shorter brow tines, kind of hurt him. But when he was coming in, he looked like a mid 50s deer. I mean, I was thinking 55 when he's coming in.
Yeah.
And he just, and that's what it's all about. He got me excited enough. He looked huge coming in. I mean,
he
everything
looks like a high 50s buck in the video.
Yeah, yeah. The video's awesome. Like everything fell into place. I'm stoked.
Well,
yeah,
that score, that score doesn't mean anything anyway. It's a hard pounding rush.
Yeah, you put the tape on him and you're kind of discouraged, but all I got to do is watch that video. I'm like, nah, there's no way I'd pass that deer.
Well, that is, I mean, I'm a measure, so people think that I'm like have this thing where I won't talk against like the score, but I think it fucking sucks, honestly. Like my second buck that's all tight and racked and tall, I didn't want to measure him because I was so stoked with just how he looked.
In the hunt
and just, you know, the little bit of history I had and all that, that it immediately goes from being this cool buck with this little drop tine, he's tall and he's tight, to him. He's close to it.
As soon as you put a tape to it, it'll take away.
And I didn't even want to do it, and that's what sucks is like being with the podcast now, people ask you first thing, what do you go?
Yeah.
Yep. But it's like, oh, he's close to 150, but it's like, you know what I mean? Well, he broke 1 point off. You would have done mid-50s if he didn't have that.
Right.
And
yeah.
But
that's one reason I picked up this traditional thing. Like I've come to a point now where like I need to be targeting humongous deer. Like, and if I don't have them, I don't have them.
Then you don't kill
it. It's going to make for a boring season. Whereas with
this, unless you're not happy with
it. Dude, with this traditional bow, every sit is an opportunity to shoot at something.
Yeah.
Whether it be a doe or a 30s or 40s old buck. I mean,
yeah.
It made the season fun for me, and I had a blast with it, and I can't wait to do it next year.
Does it kind of like take you back to that very first season of bow hunting?
It humbles you. It makes you like, you understand that you're a woodsman now, so you understand what to do. So that's a definite benefit. But yeah, when it comes to like drawing back and shooting, I mean,
yeah,
it's just like the first time. It's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome
for sure. Well, and also like you said, you got to a point where, and we've mentioned this before in the other one, like you've kind of done not everything in the whitetail woods, but like you said, it just basically made, because I mean, realistically, what's your goal now with a compound? Like if you hunted with a compound this year, what would be the, like if we had to go off inches just for a reference, what would be the buck that would
I can't get
that
away from 50s and 60 bucks. I just like them too much. But like 150s 8 or 160s 10 is what I've always set my sights on. And that's, you know, that's a tough deer to come by for me anyways.
They don't come around that often.
If you're on Ross's Jurassic Park farm, it's different.
canned hunts, you know. Yeah, high fence, you know, the stuff like that. High fence, but round corners.
Around every tree.
Feed bones and log chains.
I think he's got 7 or 8 200s running around down there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Stan Potts is down there saying, give me a second.
Well, going back to that score thing, like even Kerr's a scorer, remember, like some people come in all happy and then you tell them the score and they're like, oh well,
yeah.
I think he's bigger than that.
It's like it literally means nothing unless you want it to.
Don't let it affect you.
But then,
if you were happy when you shot it, just be happy.
It's weird because I've measured a lot of deer locally, a lot of deer for like other people that have like projects and stuff where they're like, oh yeah, like they're actively like booner down. Like, our team has shot so many booners. I'm like, well, I measured 4 of them, and I know they're not booners.
That term gets loosened up a lot, especially the last couple of years. The term booner gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah, booner's 170.
Yeah, and it's that, like, if you want to talk about gross boon at 170, that's fine, but that's not a booner, in my opinion. Like, a booner is a net booner.
A true through-and-through booner is a net 170.
Yeah.
Well, 65 that, for 1 year,
that's
but all
a lot,
time 170.
That's a lot different than a green deer with a lot of trash that goes 170. Like my buck last year, people could call that a booner. That's not a booner.
But I will tell you, if I kill a buck that goes 174 gross, he's 174.
I'm a gross guy.
Well, that's why I am too. Yep. I really am, even though I'm a measure. But that's why I like jury, gross boon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gross boon. That's exactly
they
what should be said.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I mean, Boontown. Oh, yeah, we got 14 gross boons on this DVD. You know, like that's, yep. Have you ever seen those videos that they have, Boontown?
Yeah.
They got 3 or 4 versions up. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter, really.
Yeah.
Well, it does not matter.
It just makes me smile when I see the term booner getting thrown around. Like, it's not. When I grew up, a booner was a booner.
Booners are, they don't come around.
No, you don't see a booner every year.
I've measured typical 2 legit booners.
Yep.
One is a Scotty Sullivan, old Scoot. Our boy
Scoot.
He has a buck. It was like one of his first bucks ever, It's like a net 172, and it has zero mass. So you can imagine the tines on it.
Jesus.
And then my buddy Jason Enders has a net 174.10, and it looks like, which we're getting to, this buck in here, but maybe not as big of beams as Ross's that's on the studio table here. But
yeah, I think we're looking at a true booner there, but that's that's for the next podcast coming up.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, like score, it's cool that you say that, because I comparing myself, well, going back a little bit, the good thing for us to do is, like, me and Eric and Doug is, like, we all encourage each other to kill big deer, and, like, we're kind of in the same realm of, like, whitetail hunter, you know, a little bit. Like, Eric, you're a little newer, but you've also caught up so fast because of the people you hang out with. Like,
oh, absolutely.
If you didn't have the friend, and I'm not, this, I don't mean this in a negative way, but if you didn't have people to, like, push you and help you learn quicker.
Oh, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for, like, Doug and, exactly. and for you and to these guys sitting here. Yeah, yeah. To give a shit.
Because it just takes time.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's also, like, then we surround ourselves with guys like Ross and Austin that are now some of our best friends, where you guys, I look at you two as being the next level.
Yeah.
So,
I'm cream of the crop.
And I'm happy with the deer I kill. Otherwise, I wouldn't kill them. But I know now I'm getting to that point, and we had this conversation, Austin, that's like, I'm to the tipping point of where I need to be at that 58s or 60-10s.
Yeah. Well, it all plays into, and I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but when you go out to the timber at the beginning of the year and you ran some trail cameras or you didn't run trail cameras, you go out there and you're trying to target one deer. This is the biggest one that I have on camera.
Mm-hmm.
You sit out there and you wait. Your schedule, your home schedule, your work schedule, everything else plays into it. How much time, if you're punching the clock at work nonstop, you have 5, 6, 7 days out of the whole season to be able to hunt, and you get out there and you get a buck to come in there and get that heart pounding.
Yeah.
I mean, you're killing that deer. I mean,
for sure.
And you enjoy the hunt and you'll never forget it. And I don't care what the tape says. That deer got you revved up. And you're not saying that just because you only have 3 days to hunt, you got to kill the first thing that walks by. But, you know, you start adjusting the caliber of deer that you're going to kill.
Capabilities and time and what's there.
Right.
You know.
And it might be different with how you're managing that farm, too. Maybe he's, who cares? I mean, if it's a mature buck, I mean, you're not shooting a two-year-old.
Right. If it's a mature buck, he's 120, it's a mature buck.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a good point.
You know, you just.
It's a good point, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm joking around, like, you know, I got both my racks sitting here. I'm like, oh, don't get mine near your guys's. But I'm kidding, because I'm proud of these deer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's, you know, we have a
this deer's world, not fair.
We have a world class buck on the table, but it's just, I'm kidding when
that
I say
that. Deer's
not
fair to set next to anything.
No.
this 2 year old sitting here.
Yeah.
Should have given him another year. Now.
Yeah. But anything to add, Austin?
Yeah. Iowa, well, maybe. What, I want to thank Ross. He's been a really good friend to me. And whenever I call him, like, he was in the tree stand when I shot this buck. He's like, well, I don't like where I'm at right now. Anyways, he said, I'm not going to see shit. He's like, we got perfect camera light. He said, I'm climbing down right now. I hadn't even walked up to my buck yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, don't ruin your hunt. Like, sit the rest of the hunt out. He's like, nope, I'm coming to you. He was there in 45 minutes That's after awesome. I shot that deer.
I'm already on the ground.
Yep. So when he came to me, I had to cross the creek again to get back to him in my waders. And I'm like, okay, so how are we going to do this? I want to take pictures of the deer on the south side of the creek where he's dry before we drag him through the creek. And I got one pair of waders.
Yeah.
How are we going to do this? I'm like, I can piggyback you across.
Piggyback it.
I'll probably drop you, because that's what my brother did to me last week. Drop me in the creek trying to piggyback me.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with a camera.
No.
Dude, no. There's a lot of money.
So I'm like, there's only one way to do this. So I gave Ross the waders. I let him cross and video me in my underwear crossing the creek. And this shit's deep and it is cold. It's over my belly button and it was like 28 the night before.
Dude, well, your Ross, baby bird went from leaving the nest to just going back in the woods.
Yeah, that baby bird was in the darkest cave I've ever seen him go to.
Ross, if you're ever in the water, just pretend that camera's a crown. You know, you ain't going to spill that.
Oh, that's true.
You ain't going to spill that.
But yeah,
just floating down the creek.
It made for a pretty epic end to the hunt, and then he videoed me floating him back across. So I got the longbow up above my head and floating this big 150-inch buck across the creek.
That's awesome.
It was pretty epic.
That was an awesome recovery. Just get there and get those pictures. And then watch him or film him drag that deer across the water, and then
oh yeah,
and then we had to drag him clear up over this bank. So That was well. We got a couple of motorcycle straps out.
I say, but did you
a grain? Yeah, a big old chain and a truck. And,
it worked. That's how my uncle used to do it. He gave me the idea. He backs a truck right up to the creek, hooks onto him, and pulls him up himself. Just drags him right up the bank.
Yeah. That's where a farmer comes in because you know they got a log chain and a 30-foot strap and all kinds of
a
shit.
A clevis
toolbox was loaded.
The deer sled's the move. I got to buy a deer sled though.
Oh yeah, that's money.
Definitely. Yep. Well, cool, man. That's awesome. I'm really happy for you. I knew you'd do it, well, honestly. But
I appreciate all the support from everybody. I've had tons of people message me questions about traditional gear. I'm like, I'm probably not the guy to be asking about this. Like, I don't know shit about
who Shad is.
I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm using, and it's worked for me. I know it'll kill whitetails, but there's a lot of attention from doing it with the longbow. My good buddy, John Foreman, he's a listener, and he's a big buck killer. I mean, every year he's after 5-plus-year-old deer, and he was just really struggling to get on the caliber deer that he wanted to this year. And he sent me a picture about 3 or 4 days ago. He said, you motivated me enough to break out the recurve and had this gnarly, great, big, old 8-pointer sitting in front of him with the recurve. So that's pretty special.
That was awesome.
Yep. Yeah, and I actually bought a recurve from Shad this year.
Yep.
And I had the traditional arrows already.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy a bow at some point, so I might as well get the arrows, you know.
Well,
totally,
honestly,
totally ass backwards, but.
Yeah. I mean, Shad was, we met Shad a few years ago. It sparked your fire a little bit. Yep. We got to shoot his bows a couple years ago at the shoot. And
sometimes that's all it takes is just that little push, just talking to somebody or picking one up and shooting it to just push you over the edge. And if somebody's thinking about doing it, man, go out and try it. It's been
a blast
for me. But the
cool thing is, I mean, and then talking to Shad and think that's really cool. It sparked your fire. You went out there and you got it done. You're successful.
Absolutely.
And now we're feeding off of you, feeding off of Shad, feeding. I mean, it's
funny because Shad will, like, if he sees you shoot it, he sees a spark or something, like he'll just convince you to do it.
Oh yeah. And if you want to try it, like, come to the shoot next year.
Dude,
if you want to try a recurve, he'll put it in your hand.
I can't wait to walk through the shoot with the longbow next year just so you guys can make fun of me. We're going to be sending arrows. Awesome. It's going to be
a good
time. Shad
will get
sign.
You as far as you need to go, and then it's on you. But
right. That's
it's
right.
So awesome.
Baby bird's got to leave the nest.
Yeah. That's got to
can't be a bitch
that's
your whole
feel
life,
pretty good,
you know?
Though, for you to, like, to actually you convince that guy to actually try it and keep.
Yeah, he didn't waste any time either. Like, I don't know how much he practiced with it. He knew that I was shooting it, but I think he had the compound in his hands clear up to like a couple weeks before, and he just saw this old gnarly buck and wasn't getting any deer the caliber that he needed, and he's like, I picked it up. I went out there and blasted him.
Super good for him, man.
So anyway, just started blasting.
Good for you, John, man. That's awesome.
He's a
we
killer.
Met John 3D shooting?
Yep.
Thought so.
Yep. Yeah. He's a killer.
Yeah. We'll have to get him in here.
Yep.
He's due.
Yeah, he is due.
Yeah, I didn't really know him that well at the shoot, and I was kind of giving him some shit. I was like, I don't really know this guy, but he's one of us.
Yeah,
yeah,
he is.
Yeah. He's a listener. He loves the show.
If he's Oscar's cool. buddy, he's one of us.
Dude,
One of us.
I'm thankful we have, I mean, everybody probably listening probably thinks we're douchebags, but I think we're down to earth.
Well, I mean,
it's perspective,
right? Are we?
I don't know.
I hope not.
For love or for likes.
We're probably not. Hey, it is what it is. I'm about to just do
for some douchebags or not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It
maybe
is
we are.
What it is.
I'm just going to do douchey internet
it
stuff.
It is what it is.
Oops. No, man, that's really killer. But you're tagged out. I'm tagged out. Illinois
is coming in strong right now.
Man, dude.
Ross is tagged out.
Doesn't feel good.
Hey, you know, listen, all that shit you guys talk about Illinois and us,
we're going to drive this one in the ground, buddy.
Yeah.
Dude, I know Iowa's got some big deer, but you just got to find them.
I can't. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
I'm rubbing a little salt in the wound, dude. Your day's coming.
Just find a decent one, you know?
Maybe you're a late season hunter this year.
Hey, call your mom.
Yeah. Ask her.
She's passing up 158 pointers.
Yeah, you need to just go.
What the fuck am I doing?
You need to just go sit with her.
How much bigger is that 8-pointer going to get for her to kill it?
I don't know.
Mm.
You gotta ask her.
158 and shades
two,
of stud.
Two more years.
Two more years when he's downhill. He's gonna be more mature.
Be looking at Ross's butt.
Mm.
That's right. Well, hopefully. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Well, cool. I was waiting for Eric. Eric got up to, we drink a lot of beer, you know, and we gotta pee sometimes during the show, and
he sprung a leak.
Hey, it is what it is. God damn, we almost gotta quit burying that down, you know, by saying that too much, but it's so fitting all the time.
It just feels good.
It's fitting. Sounds good. Feels good. We might be overusing it a little bit. But
oh, yeah, we're overusing
maybe
it.
Maybe a little bit.
Ross, you got anything to close with, buddy, for the podcast?
Oh, I thought you said Ross.
Austin. Maybe I did. I said
I think
Austin.
You did
I
say thought, Ross, but you looked at Austin.
I thought I got a Ross.
You definitely said Ross.
I mean, we can play it back. I think I said
Austin. Have the technology.
Austin, talk.
No, I'm just, yeah, I'm on cloud nine. Can't believe it. It kind of sucks being tagged out in the middle of November, but it's kind of awesome at the same time. Yeah. So appreciate the middle finger, Eric.
I'm flying you the bird over here.
But yeah. No, man, I still can't believe the season went the way it did. Still got some chances to go out and shoot a big old nanny with it, and that's what I'm gonna try to arrow a couple more with it.
Illinois boys are on Dopalooza.
Fucking right,
man.
Right.
Recurve and longbows.
How's that feel?
Fantastic.
I've never felt this before.
What's it feel like?
I felt this feeling. You got anything to close with, Ross?
Austin? No, I think I've already Ross and Austin Ross. Yeah, no, I think just what I said there a little bit ago, this the inspiration I'm getting out of this recurve longbow stuff. Like, oh, yeah. That's exciting. And shooting Shad's bows makes me want to shoot one bad, because I got like a $50 garage sale old Browning Safari 1. Like, it's a sweet bow.
The gleaner of recurve?
It's a gleaner of recurve. Bam! and it's fun to shoot, but... I think everybody should get out there. Anybody that's in the woods should own a compound and a recurve or a longbow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And test out both worlds, because that's the real... You're getting down to the nitty-gritty on... You're getting the whole picture, I guess, when
you're the whole package. Your new alarm on your phone is Fred Bear by Ted Nugent.
Right.
Every time you shoot the recurve, you just got to have that blast in the background.
Fred Bear.
Oh, Fred Bear.
On repeat. Yeah.
No, that's it.
My closing is congrats. That's fucking
absolutely
awesome.
Thanks,
it's an accomplishment,
man. Appreciate it.
It's an accomplishment. You got like half the trad dudes all stoked, and you got half the trad dudes like half fence. No, I don't know, I made that up.
I've had several guys say, well, you're gonna hunt years before you pull off another season like that. I'm like, well, you might be right, but I also had 2 months of hunting left, so keep that in mind.
Right. Yeah, right,
that's true. Good point. And also, it's like, you don't call you the Lord for nothing.
Yeah. I didn't say it.
Hey,
your words are not mine, pal.
Doug,
I just want to give a shout out to Aaron Atkins. He sent me
I love that guy.
He just sent me a meme that's pretty funny. I was like, I don't know how many more it is what it is, that guy anymore in me, man.
He sent it to me
because I can't kill a goddamn buck.
Right.
That's a guy. That's one dude. He's been a huge supporter
of
ours. He's really funny. He's from Kentucky.
For a long time, yeah.
And I'd like to get him in studio. He cracks me up.
I don't know anymore. It is what it is. I got in me, man. I got nothing left.
All right. Thanks, congrats, everyone, for
Austin.
Listening. Congrats, yep. Buddy.
Congrats.
Thanks. Appreciate congrats, it, Austin. Fellas. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know. Right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome. Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.